Our scripture reading this morning is from John 20, 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him."
At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said,
"Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic,
"Rabboni,"
which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news,
"I have seen the Lord."
And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Father God, speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. A father tells a story that while on a long car trip to a fishing lake, his six-year-old kept asking, "Are we there yet?" Then after a little while, "Daddy, Daddy, when are we getting there? How far is it, Daddy?" Finally, the father's patience began to wear thin. "Don't ask me anymore," the father replied. "It will be a long time yet." After a few minutes, the little boy asked wistfully, "Daddy, would I still be six when we get there?" Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews, was now a dead king. And his disciples and loved ones were experiencing the same anxiety that this little boy had been experiencing. They too had questions that needed answers. They had seen Jesus suffer a horrendous death. They were in shock and utter despair. All their hopes and dreams were now buried in the tomb along with the body of Jesus. The men withdrew in order to deal with their pain and disappointment. The women, in spite of their grieving and deep pain, proceeded to do what needed to be done. Prepare Jesus' body for the burial. When Mary got to the tomb, as we heard, she saw that the heavy stone, the one that was used to keep the tomb sealed, had been removed, and Jesus' body was no longer there. She ran to tell the other disciples what she had discovered. what she had seen. The body of the Lord was not in the tomb, yet the linen wrappings that had been around his body were intact. She informed them that the body had been stolen. However, that was just her assumption. She did not have any proof which confirmed that the body had been stolen. Again, this was her perspective on the situation. It was not the reality. And we do that too, don't we? At times we believe that our perception is reality when indeed it is not. Mary could not see clearly because her emotions had gotten the best of her, rightfully so. She was frantic. And what do most people do when they are frantic? They go tell somebody else so that they too can get frantic, just like they are. The thought of reframing the narrative never crossed her mind. Not for a minute did she think, well, perhaps Jesus resurrected, just as he said he would. Beloved, we need to be very cautious with the narrative, the stories that we tell ourselves, or that we allowed others to tell about ourselves. Cognitive distortions can create havoc in our lives. As stated in a Therapist 8 article, cognitive distortions are irrational thoughts that have the power to influence how you feel. Everyone has some cognitive distortions. They are normal, a normal part of being human. However, when cognitive distortions are too plentiful or extreme, they can be very harmful. Mary had experienced a series of horrific events. Jesus' arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, now the empty tomb. So she assumed that the worst possible outcome was true. Jesus' body was stolen. See, it's like when you and I go to visit a loved one in the hospital, and we get there, and the room is clean, the bed is done, but the person is not there. And right away, we assume he or she is dead, when in reality, he or she's not dead. They were just taken to the third floor for an MRI. From time to time, we need to examine our cognitive distortions and ask, when something unpredictable or negative happens, and it happens suddenly, what is my first thought? What is your first thought? Is it negative or is it positive? We must learn to question our thoughts and correct them. Reframe the narrative. After the disciples heard what Mary said, they themselves went to the tomb. And Peter did not look in the tomb from the outside. The scriptures tell us that he went in. He wanted to see it for himself. And yes, he saw that the body was gone and that Jesus had left behind his wrappings because he had risen to die never again, no more. That is good news. When you and I erase from the death of sin to the new life that Jesus offers us, we too must leave behind our grave wrappings. As they say in AA, our hang-ups and our hurts, our sinful corruptions. And we must put on Jesus Christ. According to Pastor Jimmy Evans, There are three different ways in which we deal with emotional pain. One, we medicate it. Prescription drugs or all sorts of addictions. And this can happen to anybody, any stage of life. The second one, we motivate it. We become overachievers. We go through life trying to prove to others that we are good and we can do it. We continue to educate ourselves and we continue to go through life showing how good we've made it, how smart we are. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as we know that the motive is right. As long as we are not operating from a broken spirit and sick emotions. And the third way, according to him, that we deal with pain, and I agree, we meditate it. We rehearse the pain all throughout our lives in order to get even with those who hurt us or even those that did not hurt us. It's like our emotions and our bodies get filled with poison, because that's what unforgiveness is all about. And eventually we will explode. And we develop this negative, nasty personalities because we are constantly rehearsing the pain. I've spoken to people and they tell me about their pain and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder when this happened. And I'm thinking maybe the pain, the situation, the crisis, the terrible event happened in their lives maybe a week ago, 6 months ago. And finally I ask, well, could you tell me when this happened to you? And they'll tell me, oh, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. How can that be? Because the person gets stuck in that pain. And they go through life bleeding. And those who are around are able to taste that terrible poison. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that it does not have to be that way. The best way for us to deal with our pain is to surrender it to the resurrected Christ. He is the only one who can give us a crown of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness or despair. Isaiah 61:3. When it comes to pain, I've heard it say, don't nurse it or rehearse it. And some people love doing that. They love to go around telling people how bad they hurt. And they nurse it continuously. They hold on to it. They don't want to let it go. So don't nurse it or rehearse it. Instead, reverse it and release it to the resurrected Christ. Reframe your story. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. After carefully inspecting the evidence, Peter and John left the tomb totally perplexed, fluttering between faith and unbelief, while Mary decided to stay, to cry and to release her emotions. After all, Jesus had been her Lord, her Savior. Deliver her from all of her sins and her painful life. He was her best friend. She loved him dearly. She had stood by the cross and now by the empty tomb, wondering what had happened. Who could have answered her questions? The disciples, the angels, nor the supposed gardener had the answer that she so desperately needed. because she also needed to have a closure. Then the man she thought was the gardener simply said to her, "Mary." And instantly she knew that it was him. Because there was only one person that could say her name the way he did. With so much love, forgiveness, grace in his voice. See, when someone truly loves us, there is a way in which they say our names that is very distinguishable from all other voices. In the book titled Hold Me Tight, the author, Dr. Sue Johnson, developer of the emotionally focused couples therapy, known as EFT, a great book for couples, she quotes the definition of love by a six-year-old named Billy. And this is what Billy says. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Out of the mouth of babes, as the Bible says. In verse 14, we read that upon hearing her name, Mary turned around and immediately knew that it was Jesus, the resurrected Christ was addressing her. And right away, her narrative was reframed. The cross, the tomb, symbols of agony, the emptiness she felt in her heart, her despair, her hopelessness, now became symbols of triumph and victory. After seeing the resurrected Christ, Mary rushed to the disciples to tell them what she had seen. But this time she went back to them with a new narrative. I have seen the Lord. Friends, this morning you are invited to turn your eyes upon Jesus, the risen Lord. He's here today to meet you right where you are. If you have been operating from an empty tomb of failure, fears, disappointments, depression, low self-esteem, low self-worth, anxiety, or just a void in your soul, in your heart. And there's been times that you have wondered, is this all there is to life? You came to the right place because he's ready to meet you. And ready to give you a new narrative, one that brings hope to your life, to your family, peace to your heart, and one that will be able to change you forevermore. The resurrected Christ has the power to deliver us today. You see, the cross could not hold him. Grave could not keep him. The power of hell is forever broken. Forever he is glorified. He is the only one who has the answers to your situation. And if you surrender your life today to him, your narrative will change. And you might wonder, well, how can that be? How does it happen? His spirit touches our spirit and our hearts, and he comes to dwell in us. And he gives us a new life. The choice is ours. We can continue to live the way we have with the old narrative, or we can open ourselves and our lives to him, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let us pray. Father God, we know that you are the only one that will restore and complete our lives. We know that you're the only one that can redirect our steps like you did for Mary. After just one encounter with you, after the resurrection, Mary's life was changed, and ours can be changed too. The choice is a personal one. I don't know what my brothers and sisters brought in their hearts today. I don't know if they came willingly because they wanted to spend time with you or just because someone in their family invited them to come. The reality is that we are all here today to celebrate your resurrection. But what good is that celebration if we ourselves do not experience the same power? And you promise in your word that we will. You say in Romans 8 that if the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in us, then it will quicken, it will resurrect our mortal bodies. Holy Spirit, as you move about us today, if there's anyone here who has never said, Jesus, come into my heart, there is room in my heart for you. I pray that today they will do so. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, just raise your hand right where you are. I see it. I see it. Thank you. Pray this prayer with me now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. There is room in my heart for you. I am a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I accept your forgiveness now. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name. And I also pray for anyone who has an area in their life that they feel that is dead. There's pain. There's been failures in the past. There's fears, disappointments, anxiety over the situation. Perhaps maybe no hope for the future. Someone experiencing inner torment. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you, Holy Spirit, would touch that area in their lives. And that today you will bring life to them. You will baptize them with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I pray that today you would help us to turn to you just like Mary did. and come to you just as we are, with questions and doubts and fear, ready to surrender everything to you. Because you promise in your word that if we seek you with all of our hearts, we will find you. We do not want to leave this place the same way we came today. And I pray for our children and for our youth, for our young adults, those who are being bullied at school, those who are having different situations with teachers and friends. I pray in the name of Jesus that those situations will be resolved. That right now, Lord, they will be able to experience your peace that passes all understanding. That they will know that everything will be well. Let them know how precious they are in your sight. We pray this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together, Up from the Grave He Arose.